no place I'd rather be than here on New Year's Day, the first day of the year, and we get to spend it at church. A lot of today, actually, because we're going to have a fellowship meal right after the service. So, where'd Big Dave go? I'm not going to be able to talk about him without him being here. No, I'm kidding. So, before I get started in today's message, I want to thank all of you guys that have been part of Cornerstone, the Cornerstone family. We're missing a lot of people here today that are here, but we're going through the holidays, so I think things will kick back up. But thank all of you guys that are part of the church and been here through 2016, and it's been a pretty cool year. I started thinking about like all the firsts that we went through in 2016. We had our first men's wild game dinner. Do we have anybody that was actually here at that here right now? Mm-mm. None of them are here. So we had the first wild game dinner, and we got to try a bunch of cool like wild game. We had somebody that brought raccoon. We had crawfish. We had deer. I think we had some wild hog. We had several things, and it was a pretty cool thing to get to be part of. So I really enjoyed that wild game dinner, and we're going to do that again this year. We had our first kids carnival. How many of you guys actually made it to the kids carnival? We got somebody that made it to that. So that was a lot of fun. We had stuff outdoors, stuff indoors, and we had a blast with that. And then we also had, we missed our summer thing, but we had our back-to-school burger bash. That wasn't our first. That was our third or fourth annual. We had something else that I thought of earlier today that was a first in the church. But we had a lot of really cool stuff that like God put in our hearts, and we followed through, and we had those things happen, and we had a lot of fun doing all of those things. So at the beginning of 2016, the very first message was that I wanted us to try to become more devoted to God throughout 2016. So all the messages throughout the year was about being more and more devoted to God. And I really enjoyed getting to learn about being more devoted to God through all the studies that I had to do. And I challenge everyone to read through the entire Bible, the whole Bible. And as of 2 days ago, I actually finished the whole Bible. I did the chronological plan. Some of you guys started on that with me. I don't know how many people made it behind. Amber just said earlier that she's like 20 days behind or something like that. But I got behind at times, caught back up, but I finished the entire whole Bible following the chron. That was my first time to do it chronologically. So it's weird whenever you're reading the Bible and you're used to it, you know, being in order, Genesis, Exodus, and then all of a sudden, like they put Job at chapter 13 in Genesis, and you're like, what? So it was cool to see that. And there's another plan that's not chronological. They call it something else, like historical or something that I may do next. But I enjoyed doing that. So it was really, really kind of cool. So my question, though, throughout 2016 and going into 2017 is, how many of you guys feel like throughout 2016 that you actually became more devoted to God? And you don't have to like raise your hands anymore. It's just kind of ask that out there. Do you guys feel like we did that throughout 2016? And I feel like I grew a whole lot throughout the year, but I also see some areas that I need to improve in with myself. So I have some things to work on in 2017, and I know for the rest of my life I'm going to have areas that I need to work on. So as I'm thinking about these things, and I'm thinking like the next step, like we get to be more devoted to God, more focused on Him and what He would have us do, and I think that we're going to be looking at more evangelistic stuff, right? Going out and sharing the good news. So whenever I start thinking about evangelism and spreading the word, I have some friends that are Jehovah's Witnesses and some family that are Jehovah's Witnesses. And there's something that I've always loved about Jehovah's Witnesses and even the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And that is that these guys know their stuff. They study so much. They learn their Bibles so much. And they are able to defend why they believe what they believe, and they're able to argue it, and they're even able to go to some Christians and show them what their Bibles say and pull people into the Jehovah's Witness or Mormons because they're so trained and they have answers to everything that they have a defense for why they believe things. They're great at like debating with people and showing people what they believe is wrong with the Protestant church and pulling things in that they have big misunderstandings about the Bible, but they're really good at defending them and making it make sense to themselves. So as I start thinking about these guys and how good they are at defending their faith, how studious they are at learning, I start like thinking about myself as a pastor and am I equipping the church here at Cornerstone for the challenge of being a witness for Jesus? Like Jesus, the Son of the Living God, not an archangel, not just the first creation, but God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and not again merely like a God with a little G, like what they want to say, but the God. How good am I equipping this church to be a witness for Jesus, to be a witness to Jehovah's Witnesses, to be a witness to Mormons, to be a witness to atheists, to be a witness to those that don't know Jesus of the Bible? How good have I done at that? And these people come in all these different flavors. There's people in the church, like people that are professing Christ that aren't really being obedient to His Word. And we talked not too long ago about Revelation 3:20 being lukewarm Christians. It's like a conception of I believe in Jesus. I believe that He lived so long ago, and I trust Him, and that's really all that I have to do. And then I'm not talking about works here, but I'm talking about Jesus tells us to go out and share the good news with people. So I say this stuff because in 2017, I want us to start digging deeper. I want us to start answering some of the whys together. Because if we have answers to the whys, then we're going to have a better understanding of the Bible together. I want to look at some of the little elements of some of the other religions out there so that we can see how they deter from God's Word, and that we can have the truth so that we can share with them that Jesus is the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Him. Not any of these other ways. We want to be able to defend why we believe what we believe. So that's going to be important to me in 2017. And to have answers, like there's some tough questions, you guys. And if you're on Facebook, you see the post out there with people debating and people feeding misinformation. Like a big question that people have that can throw you into a whole quandary if you don't look closely at it and start learning about the tenets of our faith. Like, why does bad things happen to good people? Do you have an answer for that on the spot? If somebody asks that sort of a hard question, it's a hard one to answer. Why do bad things? If Jesus loves people, if God loves people so much, why does He send people to hell? There's a lot of tough questions like that. And these things aren't things that you can cover in 30 minutes from standing up here in front. Except for little bits by little bits, you can't just cover the entire thing and answer these questions. So I want to look at like basic Christianity, the tenets of our faith, looking at our prayer life, looking at how to follow Jesus, like looking at all these different things in 2017 to start building up and training for the evangelistic efforts that Jesus told us to go out and share with people. So I want to see like, Is it worth it to give up what we give up in order to follow Jesus? I firmly believe that it is. So as we move into this new year, we looked at being more devoted to God last year. I want to look at a new era for Cornerstone, an evangelistic year, a year that we start learning how to go out and be evangelistic and share the good news with people. So whenever Jesus was about 30 years old is whenever He started His ministry. And the first thing He did is He went out to His cousin, John the Baptist, is what we call him, that was out baptizing people, telling them to repent, and Jesus was baptized by him. Then immediately He was led out into the wilderness, where He was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by Satan, the devil, Lucifer. He was tempted by him for that entire time. And then He went back to Nazareth. And this is where I want to pick up in Luke chapter 4. If you guys want to turn to Luke chapter 4, we'll be starting in verse 16. We're going to go all the way through 21. So Jesus begins his ministry, and this is where we're at. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So he says that he fulfilled that scripture. And if we're to be Christ-like, then we should probably look at doing the same things that he did. And he says there that he came to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the poor and to the captives. What good news did Jesus have? Anybody? God's Word. He came to proclaim that he was the Messiah, right? The Messiah they'd been waiting on for thousands of years. They'd been waiting on him to be born. That's what we looked at Christmas time. So he was here to proclaim the good news to the poor and to the captives. What were these people captives of? Rome was a big one, but I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about here. What were they captive by? Their sin. They're stuck in there. So Jesus came to free people from their sin. He came to give them liberty from that. And also to the people that were oppressed. Sin gets into our lives and causes so much dissension in us. Like whenever we sin, we're separating ourselves from God. And whenever we start doing that, it causes us mental issues. It can cause physical issues due to that. It causes spiritual issues. Like there's all these different things, and it just weighs on us and weighs on us. Have you ever told a lie and it weighs on you and weighs on you and weighs on you until you finally go and tell the truth, and then it's like this burden's lifted off. Anybody else? Am I like the only one that's okay? So there's some other people that have told some lies. This morning, and Big Dave was here. Big Dave's not here, but this morning he was talking about a time that he was at the promise, and something happened, and he lost his temper, got angry. And then it just kept weighing on him. Whenever he got time for the meeting, he ended up apologizing right in front of all of the people there, because that weight of what he'd done was just weighing on him. So he needed to do that. And sin's like that for any of the different ones. No matter what it is, it takes its toll on our spirits. And sin goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And with Adam and Eve is also pointed towards the Messiah. But that's one of these things that we need to be learning about. Now, when we talk about the captives, we're not talking about people that are in jail, but there's people in jail that are captive to their sins, right? So one of the things in 2017 that I want to start doing is I met up with a guy that leads a chaplain ministry at the Hood County Jail. Cheeto and I both signed up to be chaplains at the Hood County Jail. We're going to start going over there to talk to the people that are captive in Hood County about Jesus. That's what we're going over there for. So I'm excited about that new ministry, to get to be part of that. And I wanted to do Somerville County too, but it sounds like they send all the guys over to Granbury and all the girls over to Glenrose. So probably wouldn't be a great idea for me to be up there. But if there's any ladies that are interested in being in a jail ministry, then let me know and I'll figure out how we need to get some chaplains for Somerville County. So there's great news for anyone that is captive to sin. That good news is that Jesus Christ came here to save us. He came here to reconcile us to God. That's the good news that we need to be sharing with everybody out there. So the question comes up, like, how do we be more evangelistic? And people have all kinds of concerns. And even right now, people are probably, you know, some of you guys are probably like, oh my gosh, what's he going to ask us to do? I don't want to go out and talk to people about Jesus. It's too scary. What if they ask me something that I don't know the answer to? What if, and there's like a lot of fear about doing it, and there's a lot of things, and that's why we need to be trained up so that we have answers when we need them, and we're never going to have all of the answers. I don't believe that we will, but we can certainly know our way around the Bible better to where when we're sharing the good news and when things come up, we can refocus everything back to Jesus, because that is what it is all about every single time. So we need to be more evangelistic. But how do we do that? So I want to read in Acts 2, and you guys can turn to Acts 2 if you want to. How many of you guys know what the book of Acts is all about? Okay, so the book of Acts begins with Jesus' ascension, and then it goes right into the disciples waiting in a room until winds start blowing through, licks of fire come down on them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then there's more and more acts of the first church, like more and more things that happen throughout this entire book. The first acts of the first believers is what Acts is about, and it's believed that that Paul possibly wrote the book of Acts. But I think that I believe that he did, but I think there's some people that would argue that. But that's what the book of Acts is about. So we can look at a lot of things of the first church here in Acts and see what they acted like and how they took care of things. So in Acts 2, starting in verse 42, near the end of the last chapter there, this is what the first believers did after Jesus had gone and their learning. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So I want to stop there. So there's four things right there that I think we can look at from the first church, from the first believers, that they did, that I think we can replicate them. And we already do in some ways replicate some of their stuff, but it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. What do you think that would mean? Where do we get the apostles' teachings? Feel free to talk. So the apostles' teachings come from the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's where, like, we weren't there to learn from the apostles and have them teach us, but it's written down in here. So we get to learn from the apostles in the New Testament. All of the disciples, all the apostles, and Jesus were all from Israel. They were all Jews. So there is a lot of things in the New Testament that point to the Old Testament. There's prophecies that they're showing us were fulfilled in Jesus' lifetime. There's a lot of different things that points back to the Old Testament, but the Old Testament also points forward to the New Testament. And these are some of the cool things that we can learn more about this year as we grow together. So we can learn the apostles' teaching. We need to be studying the New Testament. We need to be learning what Jesus said, what Jesus did, how these apostles viewed different things, and how we should act as believers. So we need to study the New Testament together. Then the next thing that it talks about is that they fellowshipped together, right? We're already pretty good at fellowshipping, right? We're about to do that today. I can actually smell some of that food right now. So that's why I'm talking so fast, so I can get out there and eat. But no, we're good at fellowshipping, but I think that we can use some more fellowship time as we're devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, as we're learning more about Jesus that way, then we can start fellowshipping. So one of the things that I want to do in 2017, one of the things I want to start up is a Sunday night study, so that we can start beginning to devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings, to what Jesus taught them and what they want to teach us. So we're going to be, and it's just trying it out, and hopefully it's something that we can all find very useful and we can all grow by doing. But Sunday evenings, what we used to do when Randy was the pastor, we would meet up here at, I think, like 5 o'clock. We would eat some sandwiches. How many of you guys remember eating sandwiches up here with Randy, right? So we ate some sandwiches up here with Randy, and then we would go into a Bible study. Sometimes it was studying some kind of a book, or sometimes it was a video series, but we were always studying and learning and growing by fellowshipping together and by learning more stuff. So I want to do that. I don't want this thing to last more than an hour of study, but an hour is a good chunk of time for us to break down some things and start looking at some things to where we can start to grow and learn more together. We'll use like 30 minutes to eat, and then we'll start our hour-long Bible study, and we'll have everybody out of here by 6:30. And I can, I don't know if the microphone's picking up all the, more time at church. Okay, it's not really. But 30 minutes eating and 30 minutes study. I know that not everybody can do that, but I desperately want to grow and do everything I can as a pastor to be able to teach people and for us to grow together. And if we start spending time studying and we're learning and we're evangelizing to people, then we're going to grow spiritually. We're going to be doing what God told us to do. So the other thing that it says here is that they broke bread together, right? Breaking bread like Passover, the Passover meal. So we're already going to have sandwiches, so we have that bread, and we're going to technically be breaking that. But we also have, we can do a mini communion weekly that we take that bread and we remember what Jesus did for us, his broken body. We can do that on a weekly basis, just real quick, mini communion to help keep us focused on Jesus and what he did. That's what the original church was doing here, is they were studying and learning from the apostles, they were fellowshipping, and they were breaking bread. And the last thing that they did is they spent time in prayer, in earnest prayer. And I think a few years ago I watched a service called Secret Church. Have any of you guys ever heard of Secret Church? No? The guy that's now the head of the International Baptist Association or something, David Platt, does something annually that he calls Secret Church. And it's what it is he went to China, and over in China you can't really have church, so these people will come from all kinds of different directions, and their goal is to get to this one room inside of a house. So they come from all these different directions and different times, and sometimes hours before, and they make their way through different houses and different ways to get to this one room where they study God's word. Like, that's what they spend the time doing. So he holds a secret church to recognize and pray for the believers that are over in China that can't meet like we do in a building every week and not end up coming under gunfire or being thrown in jail or something like that. So he does that. And I think of them, like he talks about them spending hours studying just a small portion of the word and spending that time in prayer together. So I think that we can spend some time in prayer on Sunday nights, praying for like a set things. We can make a prayer list to pray over things that's on our hearts that's burdening us at that time. But we can also have some things like, I want to pray for 10 people to be baptized in Cornerstone next year. I don't know how God's going to do that, but each year that I've been the pastor, I've prayed for that. And we've seen about one a year, maybe two a year, but I start forgetting and I lose sight of that, and I stop praying for it. God can make anything happen, so I want to pray for that. And he may say no, but I don't feel like I have prayed for that enough. I also made the decision that I'm going to pray every single day for 3 lost people that I know, and I've already been doing that for a couple weeks. Every day I pray for these 3 lost people, people that I know are far from Jesus, that they would come to know him. So I'm doing that. We can pray for our events that we have coming up during this prayer time. We can pray for people in our community. We can have these set things, but there's also going to be some other things that we want to pray about. Our church has grown in the last 2 years. We've added a few people, a few families to the body here, and we're going to continue to do that. I've been excited to see the church growing a little bit here and there. And if it weren't for some of the new families that have started coming this year, then we would have a lot less people here today. So it's kind of cool to see the church growing. So hopefully as we grow up, we can start to do some church outreach stuff, some things that we can do in the community. One of those things is taking care of the elderly. So I'm not a nurse or a doctor, so I can't physically take care of the elderly. But what I can do is something brought up by Delin, is that the Cherokee Rose nursing home here in town, they have some Jehovah's Witnesses that come in there regularly, and a few other people kind of come in there, but Jesus needs ambassadors in the Cherokee Rose nursing home. So on Sunday afternoons before the 5 o'clock. I think Dylan said 3:45 is the best time. It's before they're eating and all that kind of stuff. We're going to go in there, sing a few songs, do a little devotional, and just be there for the elderly. We already do great at taking care of the poor. We give away as many meals as we possibly can every year during the two toughest times of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we help people all throughout the year. That's just our big push during that time. So we're going to be doing something with Cherokee Rose. I'm excited about that. We have a lot of different things that I see us doing this year, and that's what I wanted today, is just to look at the vision that we have for this year. Speaking of like events and stuff that we have coming on, one of the things that I started talking about was seeing if we can get an event planning team. I'm staying away from the word committee, but a team to help us plan events. Because what happens with being just constantly busy, we end up waiting until the last minute to start advertising things and putting the word out there that we have things coming up. And I think that we can probably do better at that if we have a group of people that's just what they do. They help advertise it. They make the phone calls to make things happen. The leadership team says, hey, we want to do this event. Here's the budget that we have for that. And they just go, all right, we'll make it happen. And then they go find a way to put all the pieces together that you normally, you know, I spend a lot of time with doing that, and Amber does, and other members of the leadership team. We're all trying to do these things, but I think a team that's just what they do is going to be awesome. And I'm not going to ask those people to plan our men's wild game dinner because that needs to be really, really awesome. No, I'm kidding. I look forward to this men's wild game dinner thing. It's like manly eating meat and stuff like that, even if it is raccoon. Although, funny story about eating raccoon is the guy that brought over the raccoon this last year, I was really focused because I made some deer meat, not enchiladas, what am I looking for here? No, not the tamales, the slices of meat, fajita meat. So I made that, so I tasted a little bit of it, and that's what I wanted to make sure that I got more of whenever we started everything up. So that's what I was trying to get to. Well, I went over to the raccoon. Oh man, I gotta try it because it's not manly if I don't. So I gotta try some raccoon. So I pull off some raccoon and I get over there to my plate and I'm eating everything else and still kind of looking at that and not quite there yet. One of the guys says, "Hey, have you tried the raccoon yet?" I'm like, "No." They're like, "You gotta try it." Okay, so I take a bite of it and I'm like, "That tastes like potatoes." And he looks at it and goes, "That is potatoes." So I went back up and there was no more raccoon. It's okay. I'll try that next time. So it was good. So, guys, I think 2017 is going to be great. It's going to be I think the best is yet to come. So we're going to learn some great things as we focus in on our mission. The mission of Cornerstone, and I try to say this often, is to lead people to Christ and be conformed in His image. That's like our mission here. That's what we're trying to do with all of our hearts throughout the ministries here at Cornerstone. So if you're interested in being part of this cool stuff that's going to be coming down the lines and learning and growing together, then keep coming back. And we can do the membership paper, but I just love having people here and learning and growing together, whether they've signed a piece of paper to say, hey, we're officially members or not. There are benefits of being members, which we'll talk about in a little bit because we have to renew everything. But here is something, the big thing that I'm thinking about for 2017. Some of you know what I do for a living. Others do not. I do marketing for, I guess the best way to put it would be Byron Stinson Incorporated. He's got multiple companies, but we do the marketing, my team of me and Lauren, and then all the other people that help out throughout it, do the marketing for National Fleet Tracking, which is the GPS tracking company, for GRTM, Byron's 30-year-old company, and for Father's House. And now that he has become the president of the board, we're helping out with the marketing of The Promise also. How many of you guys have heard of Father's House and what Father's House does? Yeah, I know Clarissa has. So Father's House sends people over to Israel, to journeys in Israel. I got to go on one of those almost 2 years ago, and it was an awesome experience. So Byron came up with this plan. Like, if you have a big church of, you know, 7,000 to 8,000 people, then you can raise the funds to build your own trip over there and take 30 or 40 people to go on a trip to Israel. But small churches like ours, that would be everybody, and we would have a hard time raising up the money to do that. It takes about $7,000, according to my figures, to go over to Israel for two people. Two people to go to Israel, $7,000. So as Byron is telling me that he wants to work with small churches like ours and like other small churches and putting them all together to build one big group, and he called it Stand With Israel Now, and then it was called To Grow, To Go, All Grow, and it's because if you send a couple people from your church to go to Israel, they're going to come back more knowledgeable about their Bibles. They're going to see things in Israel that's in the Old Testament. It's going to awaken a hunger inside of you. It did for me and for a lot of people that I know that went. So it's my job as a marketer to try to get people to do this, right? So I'm looking at it and going, man, if somebody came to me as the pastor of a small church, like, hey, we want you to send two people to Israel, it's only $7,000. I'm going, oh, $7,000. That's crazy. How are we going to do that? But that's my job, is to figure out how. So I actually broke it down to figure this whole entire thing out and to make it easier for my brain to comprehend how it would be feasible. One, God's going to have to bless it. He's going to have to want people to go over there. And I believe that God wants people from different congregations to go to Israel. There's scriptural references about people coming home to Israel. So one of the things that I started looking at is if 20 people in a church, this church, any other church, can give a dollar a day, $7 a week per person, a dollar a day, at the end of 1 year, you will have about $7,000, a little bit more, I think, that you could send two people from your congregation over to Israel. And the more and more and more that I've thought about that, the more and more that I feel like I should talk to you guys about that and present that for us to come together as a church and give a dollar a day for, if we get 20 people to commit to that, we will raise up the funds to send two people from our congregation to Israel. Don't know who those are. We haven't determined how we would choose the people that go over there. But I really feel like that would be an awesome thing for us to do if we could start sending two people a year. And as the church grows, maybe we could send four. Maybe we could send six. Maybe eventually we'll grow up and we could build an entire group ourselves. But if we start small, then people come back on fire and they're going to talk about that, and they're going to build, it'll build up the church spiritually because of what you learn over there. So that's something that I want to look at for 2017 also, is for us to raise the funds to send two of our people over to Israel. And I've already been, so it won't be me. Though I would like to go back over there again. I enjoyed it that much. So so that's something that we'll be looking at in the next couple of weeks to see if we can do that, see what how many people feel like, you know, pray about that. Pray if that's something that you feel led to do, to give to something like that, to send people over there. And in a couple of weeks we'll do a sign up sheet. We'll see how many people we have and how much we would have to give to make that happen. So I'm really excited about that. We'll have more details about the whole thing soon. So the last thing that I want to talk about today, because it is the first day of the new year, before we go, before we pray and move into the fellowship hall, is this right here. You guys voted not too long ago, whenever we did our budget, to give me a small salary. And that's awesome that you guys thought of my family that way and myself that way and wanted to do that. But after Amber and I looked at our finances, we have to decline the money that the church wants to give to us. I was already going to give it back, but if it goes on my income, then I lose insurance for my kids. So it puts me beyond the bracket of where I can get the cheap insurance for the kids. So I have to decline that pay. I want to tell you all that so that we can talk about that at the meeting in a couple weeks and make some decisions regarding that, but I'm not able to take that at this time. So, still cool that that you guys wanted to do that for me, and I was looking forward to being able to just give that back and then we looked at the paperwork and went, oh, sorry. So anyway, the very last thing that I have today is our bylaws of Cornerstone Christian Fellowship Church says that every odd year we have to renew our membership. The reason that the founders of Cornerstone came up with that in the bylaws, because there are churches out there that have 2,000 members, but 35 people showing up to church. So they wanted to make a way that the membership would fall off every couple of years, and then those that want to re-up can re-sign the covenant agreement and continue being members. Being a member of Cornerstone is described in our statement of beliefs and in our bylaws. It gives you the right to vote in meetings and gives you a right to serve in leadership roles and things like that. So there's some benefits to doing that. I thought about it for, this morning I was up here staring at this thing blank. When am I going to? No, I'm kidding. I signed this pretty quick, and I know Big Dave already signed his, so he's going to continue being a member. And if you want a copy of the Statement of Beliefs so that you can see what all that is, if you're considering being a member, I can print those off for you. But the sheets are back there that has the agreement without that Statement of Beliefs. So we have to do that because it's another odd year. We did start a discussion at our last meeting about doing away with that, but we have to find a way to balance it. If we do away with it, then we're going to have to come up with terms of, if someone isn't here for however long and there's no communication, then do they drop off? So there's a lot of questions that goes along with doing away with that little part of our bylaws. So the sheets are back there. I can print you off a statement of beliefs. And if you believe with me that God is going to do some awesome things with Cornerstone in the next year and beyond, then consider being part of our membership, signed up and a voting member, and consider being that part. If you don't, I consider everybody that comes here all the time to be family. I love you guys like I would love any members of the church. So it doesn't matter to me. But the bylaws do have things that we have to do by being a member and by being a not member. So if you believe God's going to do some great things and you want to sign up, sign that thing, put it into the vase back there, and we'll get everybody re-signed back up for the new year. So take that home. Take home the whole thing if you want to do that. So that is all I have for you guys. I'm really, really, really excited about 2017. I was really excited about 2016, and so many great things have gone on. There's been spiritual battles and things that that have gone on that have made the year somewhat crazy for me personally, and conversations with other more senior pastors to figure my way through some things, and they're not even things within the walls of this church, just other things that somehow find me. It's been a great year. I'm looking forward to another awesome year in 2017. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for us, and just take a minute of silence to where you can pray there in your chair and tell God that you want a fresh start this year, that you want to grow closer to Him, that you want to be changed this year in ways that you've never been changed before. If you feel like you've gotten too comfortable as a Christian this year, then pray for God to make you uncomfortable for Him, to get you out of your comfort zone. And let me tell you, if you start praying for that, you need to pray for peace, you need to pray for discernment, and you need to pray for God to just put a hedge of protection around you, because when you start praying to be uncomfortable, I have found God makes you that way. He puts you in situations that are so uncomfortable. So be sure that you pray for peace and comfort and a hedge of protection around that. And I'll pray for our meal also before I'm done. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today grateful for a great 2016, for that year. And God, we look forward to 2017. And God willing, all the things that you would have us do this year. Help us to recognize your voice this year in everything that you call us to do. Help us to do everything we do with excellence. God, we want you to to teach us this year. We want you to show us how we can get into this community, how we can be there for the elderly, how we can take care of the poor. God, how we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with this community and beyond. Lord, you say that the word is written on our hearts. We just ask that you start to bring that out in us. That you would help us to be more focused on you so that we can be focused on others. God, help us to put away all the bad things that are in us. Help us to recognize the areas in our lives that we need to give over to you. God, it's so hard sometimes. We hang on to things and we try to handle it ourselves. We try to take care of things ourselves, but you say to give it to you. God, help us to do that this year. Help us to be studious in your word. Help us to be studious in all the things that you want us to know, that you want us to learn so that we can grow closer to you. God, give us the questions that people have that we can search your word and we can find those answers so that we can share it with people. Give us a bigger understanding of you, God. God, during this next minute, just speak to us directly. Show us what we need to do, what we need to change. Help us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that he came to reconcile us. He came to call for repentance. We ask that you would help us to build our faith stronger in you. Give us boldness, give us courage, equip us for everything that we need to be ambassadors for you in this world. You are an awesome, awesome, good Father that loves us on a personal level, that loves us so much that you know the hairs on our head, that they're counted, that you formed us in our mother's wombs. God, you have known us since from before we were born. We thank you that you care about us so much, that you want us to know you. In spite of everything that we do, God, that you still love us and that you're always there for us to run into your arms. God, we ask that you would bless this fellowship time that we're about to have, that you would use it for us to encourage each other in our faith, to grow stronger in you. God, that you would use the food to the nourishment of our bodies. We thank you for the food that you've provided for us. Thank you for the jobs that give us the money to do it. We thank you for everything. We give you the glory for everything in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.